Jason Wilde is brought to you by Boucher Automotive, where we ride with you every mile. 18 dealerships, 15 brands, and thousands of vehicles in stock. Check them out at Boucher.com.
Everybody should get information about the Packers from Jason Wilde. Since he's not on this show every day, you need to go to WisconsinOnDemand.com. Wilde and Tauscher, it's 3 hours every day. And unlike Mark Tauscher, Jason is actually on the show most days. Good evening. What? What are you laughing?
Oh, Steve.
It's true.
No, nothing.
Yeah.
It is true.
I know. We appreciate, I as a listener, appreciate every time he's on. But, I mean, and he's not yet to the greeny the percentages of his radio show.
True. Also true. Yeah, he's special, man. There is nobody
yeah.
like him.
No, I agree.
We are blessed.
I wish I was Mark Tauscher. I would love to have had his life to this point.
No.
What?
I don't want his life.
Well, that's fine. You don't. You don't have to. You know what? You wouldn't want.
I'm happy with my life.
Fine. I'm happy with mine. You wouldn't rather have had Mark Tauscher's life than yours.
Really?
No, I wouldn't. He could barely walk with that bad knee of his. He's still a young man. He can barely play football.
That is a problem that you have to address. I deal with that with Tony Smith, who's an old man. He's got all kinds of problems. Oh, yep. Can't play golf, my back, whatever. And I thought, wow.
And Tausch worries about CTE from all the collisions on the offensive line. I don't have to worry about that either.
He shouldn't worry about that at all.
I
would say those that have had trouble with that, I think, have had some sign of it by the time they're his age. But I'm no expert on that, so I'm not sure.
Well, he never has to deal with that because he just says whatever's on his mind on the show immediately. That's one of our rules, so he doesn't forget it. So we adjust to him because he's so good. So we try to make it as easy as possible. But, look, he's had a great life. We love him. The show is better.
You love him. I don't think I love him.
I don't know what your relationship is, the two of you, quite frankly.
It is. It's fine, but I don't love him.
It's an interesting dynamic.
I don't know. I have incredible respect for him in every way, but I don't love him. Wow. All right. Anyway, I'm going to give you.
Oh, wait a minute. Wait,
what?
Well, before we move on.
Yeah.
I love you.
Yeah, I don't know that I love you.
You don't love me.
No. No, I think there's a different word for it. It's not love.
No, I think for my Christian upbringing, there's a couple different types of love. Agape, I believe.
Yeah, my dad told this in a speech. There are like four different kinds of love, or three or four.
Yeah, exactly. World's greatest entertainer had that one right.
I think I admire you. I have immense respect for you. Those are two words. Why? What is getting? What's wrong with that?
You
can say nice things about me, but I can't say nice things about you. Wow, that's a Tausch. All right, let's get to this. That's fine.
Okay.
But because nothing that will occur on the show today is going to be as memorable as me telling you this, and I credit John Anderson. What do Bob Harlan and Caitlin Clark have in common?
They're both from the same place in Iowa.
They went to the same high school.
Yeah.
How about that?
Okay, two great people that went to Iowa.
So now, who is the most famous person at that high school?
It's definitely Caitlin Clark, because for all that Bob Harlan accomplished, and another person that I love, and is one of my favorite people. You know, he never reached the level of acclaim that Caitlin Clark already has, right? Like, he is an underappreciated piece of Packers history, even though he is appreciated in Packers history, because most importantly, he went after Ron Wolf the way then the Packers in turn went after Holmgren.
The second most important hire in the history of the Green Bay Packers.
After Lombardi.
Yes. I think so.
Yeah, I would agree with that. And so, like, I think this is why it's so important, though, because Ron Wolf came to Green Bay once before.
Yes.
To interview for the GM job. That went to Tom Brotts because he came there and he met Judge Perrins and saw how ridiculously dysfunctional the organization was and was like, dude, thanks, but no thanks. and had Bob Harlan take him back to the airport. And when Bob Harlan had another chance as president then, because he was like the, the assistant vice president or assistant general manager, whatever he was at the time, the first time they tried to hire Wolf.
He was the guy wearing a blue shirt, like, every day is what he was.
Yeah, we're not doing this. We're
now, I have a question for you that I never asked Bob Harlan. If Bob Harlan could have, he would have hired Ron Wolf the first time. Did he ever give any, he's not the boss, but did he give any consideration? Do we know how much he told Judge Parents, look it, you got to hire this guy, or did he feel like that? Do you think he felt that was presumptuous or wasn't his?
Well, no, in fairness to Judge Parents may have hired him. Ron Wolf withdrew his name from consideration because of the structure of the organization. It's also why, even if Mark Murphy would have wanted to hire Elliot Wolf to replace Ted, once Murphy did the switcheroo on him, Elliot Wolf would have said, no, I'm not doing this.
But wait, the organization was no different under Harlan than it had been under Parents. They had made the switch.
No, they had not. No, they hadn't.
Parents was more important than the board. He was the president, just like Harlan.
No, the football operation wasn't. It was still this shared, like, same place, same level on the flow chart. And the GM did not have full authority over the football operation, both because of the situation with the coach and with the president and the board.
But Parents could have given it to him, couldn't he have?
He could have, but he wasn't going to. But okay. Judge Parents, and I would defer to the incredible Cliff Crystal, who...
Yeah, I will too.
I was reading a column, and I think Wes Hotquist from Packers.com had mentioned this. Like, when he retires and doesn't even do the Packers stuff anymore, like, there is going to be a vacuum in terms of the knowledge of... And no one else does what Cliff has done.
Now, Cliff Crystal is as deserving of being in the Hall of Fame as Jerry Kramer was.
Yeah, I don't want to compare those two. I can say this. He is much more deserving and much more ethical than other people that have gotten more attention.
Nice. That was so good. That was so good. Can I just throw the name out? Can I just go? No, I won't do it to you. All right.
No.
Yes.
But I would say this. He would know better about.
Yes.
All I know about.
I'm going to call him up and ask him. Yes. Yeah, I'm going to call him up and ask him.
My grandparents used to just complain about him all the time. I remember that. But my point is that my understanding of what Judge Parents was like and how much he appreciated and enjoyed having the power that he had, there was no way in God's green earth that he was going to change the structure to get Ron Wolf. It took Bob Harlan taking over to change the structure.
Okay. I'm assuming that you're right because of the way you've spun Cliff Crystal. All right. I want to deal with all this that has gone on with LaFleur and Goody, because my analysis is very simple. I think that LaFleur was informed. I think he made his comments because he's a player's coach, and he wants all the players on the team to know that he tried and that he just didn't know. He is disingenuous, but Goody's fine with that because that's what a coach has to do sometimes, and he'll gladly take the heat. Though, I believe that LaFleur was, in general, very knowledgeable of what was going on. So do you want to join my club or not?
No, I don't want to join your club. Because
why?
In my experience with Matt, he's not disingenuous.
Okay, then throw that word out. He's saying what he's saying it for the rest of the players on the team and for them to realize that he tried to keep
I don't think that's true. I think what happened was he was generally aware that and again, based on the reporting from The Athletic, because I was not told this by Drew Rosenhaus or anyone else, but based on their reporting, the final offer that the Packers gave to Aaron Jones was for below $4 million as a base salary plus $2 million in incentives. Now, I don't know why Drew Rosenhaus would lie about that, because I don't think it really helps him to say that, hey, this organization lowballs my clients. So I don't know. I that is not my original reporting. That is what I was.
What did he
read?
What did he get from Detroit? Four.
From Minnesota.
Minnesota, excuse me.
He got $6 million in salary, $1 million in incentives.
Whoa,
so
six.
He obviously got more. Okay,
I thought it was four.
And,
so, right.
And again, if whatever the Packers number was, I had somebody today say, "Hey, I don't think that's right." Well, okay, but the bottom line is, they lowballed him, and then when he said no, and they pivoted, they then reached back out to Drew Rosenhaus and told him, hey, just so you know, like, the ship has sailed now. Like, there's not going to be Aaron Jones and Josh Jacobs in the same backfield. So if Aaron Jones turned around and said, okay, you know what, upon further review, even though the Vikings are offering me six guaranteed, I'd rather come back and spend another year in Green Bay, even sharing snaps with Josh Jacobs. The Packers said, look, we're done now. Because they did not want him coming back and then having to say, no, thank you for your service.
But they
That's
were,
my understanding.
Right, I agree with you, but they were done. Given what they offered and what they paid to Jacobs, they didn't want Aaron Jones coming back.
Well, they definitely didn't after he turned it down. Now, what they would have
their
done
offer
had,
is...
Now,
okay, go ahead.
Now, again, like, so the Jordy Nelson offer... in 2018 of 1 year, $2 million, which, if you recall, Aaron Rodgers called it insulting.
Yeah.
The offer to Devontae Adams, which I know that guy that's a huge fan of yours that I blocked on Twitter has been saying stuff about me today. I am not a tool for Devontae Adams. Devontae Adams was pissed off, not in 2022. He was pissed off in 2021.
Can I just interject one second? I just want... Yes,
no.
I'm going to anyway.
Could you give this guy run on your show?
Well, that's
and it ticks me
no,
off,
he's not.
But, despite how much I love you,
I know. I understand. Like, just no, understand
no,
this: Jason Wilde is a tool for no one, and it irritates me because Jason Wilde, as much as anybody I've ever followed in media, says what he believes. Now, Jason Wilde could be wrong, but he says what he believes, never as a tool for anyone. And there, so, whatever the person said, that's fine, and you can be wrong. Yeah, including for Rodgers.
I'm not wrong. I'm not wrong about what pissed off Devontae Adams.
Okay, all right, but either way.
How often does a player of Devontae Adams' potential Pro Football Hall of Fame caliber play out his contract without it getting an extension before being in the final year of his deal? That's what pissed him off. And, yes, the Packers offered him more on his way out the door, but, again, those are the offers that aren't really offers. Like, the offer to Jordy Nelson was to send the message that we don't really want you anymore.
But isn't that exactly what they did to...
And that, exactly,
yeah.
Yes.
Okay.
That's why I'm
all
agreeing
right
with you.
Oh, good.
Using that story.
Yeah.
So they didn't... Goody did not want Aaron Jones back. I do believe
all right
that Matt LaFleur, if this is naivete, whatever it is, A, he still wanted Aaron Jones on his team. There's no doubt about that. And secondly, he thought that he could have both. Because if you asked him, and he was drinking some truth serum, if you gave him the choice, you could have Josh Jacobs and Aaron Jones, or you have Josh Jacobs and A.J. Dillon and Emmanuel Wilson, you know what he's thinking. He loves Aaron Jones. He just did a podcast with Kevin Clark in which he calls him the biggest badass he's ever coached. He loved him so much.
Yeah.
So... that was never going to happen. I don't think, I personally believe, and this is my opinion,
yeah,
very clear.
Okay.
I think Matt LaFleur spoke the truth of how things played out from his perspective. He is now, you know, trying to, or the team is, or whoever is, as Rob Domofsky talked about on ESPN 2, you know, I think they're trying to smooth things over, because if I'm Goody, you know, I don't want that out there that my coach didn't feel like he was really in the loop as much as he should have been, right?
But, so, but I don't think Goody cares.
I don't think he's
bit
blind. Maybe not. Maybe okay not. Mm-hmm. I will say this. From talking to someone who works in the building after this whole thing kind of reflamed up,
mm-hmm,
because I wrote about this over a week ago.
I know. It is reflamed up. Nicely done. I'm going to steal that. Reflame. I love that.
Yeah. It was really weird, but that's what aggregation does, as I learned from our whole conversation that you and I and Tony once had about Jordan Love wanting to be traded if the Packers brought back Rodgers for another year in 2023. But since this has reflamed up, I do think that for Matt, you know, from what I understand from this person that I talked to yesterday, mm-hmm. like, he and Goody have actually been in a much better place the last year or so mm-hmm. than they had been before. I do think that there was frustration that they were so young last year and that they were struggling, and that I think the coaches were concerned that this was going to be viewed as, quote-unquote, their fault, that they were 2-5 because they had drafted talent, but they didn't.
But they were wrong because right. Goody did better drafting and they did great coaching, so it all kind of worked out.
Right, and so yeah. I do think that, Goody and LaFleur are in a good place now, and I do think that Matt is probably concerned. He doesn't want things to go back to where they were before, which I don't care what anybody tells you. I know for a fact that he was not looped in as much. And now, if things got better last year, and this one incident has gotten so much attention,
then he realizes that it really didn't get better.
I don't want it to get bad again.
Yeah. Right. But, I mean, it could mean that he thought it was better, but in the end, this would tell him,
maybe, again, that would be naive.
However, I would say, do you think he actually thought that they could afford and would have both those running backs?
Yeah, look, it is BS that they couldn't afford to keep them. They're like $23 million under the cap.
I know,
right
but
now.
You don't spend that and much money on running backs.
But if let's say they had met somewhere in the middle between the 6 guaranteed that the Vikings are giving him
right.
and the 4.
Then they're not bringing in Jacobs. There's no way.
And they brought in Jacobs.
They would.
And let's say he does call back and say, you know what? If we give me 4.5 and give me $3 million in incentives that I can achieve, you're telling me that they couldn't make that work?
No. Yes. They would choose not to make it work.
Correct. And that's my point, is that it is not, because Goody did say at the NFL meetings that bringing Jones back once they had Jacobs would cause cap issues for 2025. And again, I don't know the cap as well as Russ Ball and Goody do, but I know enough to know that the way the cap has exploded and went up $31 million this year to suggest that keeping a running back for an extra couple million, who was scheduled to count $17 million against your cap right. this year, to bring him back at a low number for one more year is not blowing up next year's cap, which is going to go up anyway.
I agree with you.
So they didn't want – you're right. I don't think Goody wanted it.
No, when Jacobs became available at whatever price it was, they no longer wanted Aaron Jones. And the amount of money they paid for Jacobs tells you that's what happened. Because they're paying him a ton.
Yeah, and I agree with you. That is my opinion as well. No one told me that. I would also add that the money they're paying Jacobs is concentrated. Like, he got his deal is 4 years, $48 million. Aaron Jones' deal was 4 years, $48 million. He took a pay cut in year 3 and got cut in year 4. And with $14.25 million in 2024 pay, this contract is structured that they could decide 2 years from now that Josh Jacobs isn't the answer, and has because he's got so much
They will, I believe. They will, I believe.
Right?
Yes, without a doubt.
So it's not really a four-year deal with him?
No, I believe they'll do the same. Yes. He'll be 2 years.
They're paying him this year like he's the guy. There's no doubt about that. It's how long will he be? At a disposable position.
Yep. I'll go 2 years.
If he gets 3, great. I think he's a really good player. And I would say the one drawback to all this was LaFleur in the loop. He was caught off guard, all this other stuff, is that there has been a lot less talk about something else that LaFleur talked about at the coach's breakfast, which is how excited he is, because this is a different type of player. He's a high-volume back. He's a between-the-tackles guy. Yep. Like, He is a good player. Aaron Jones is a good, very good player. They're both very good players, but they're different players. And I'm eager to see how Matt LaFleur deploys.
Yeah, we're going to find out how much he really wants to run the ball. That's what we're going to find out.
You're right about that.
Yeah, thanks, Jason.
All right, take care. Be good, home.
Caitlin Clark and Bob Harlan went to the same high school. Next.